Welcome to Attached, a platform for adding breadth and depth to everyday living. I'm Yaakov Danishevsky, and this particular series is called Living with the Times, Chassidus to enhance our experience of the time period in the Jewish calendar. It's the month of Shvat that we're entering and in the middle of, as well as this month having the Chag of Tu B'Shvat. And we know that the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that Shvat, whether it's the first day of the month according to Beis Shammai or the 15th of the month according to Beis Hillel, Shvat is the Rosh Chodesh for Ilanos. It's the new year, the beginning of the new year for trees. And many of the Svarim in this context bring up the pasuk that says Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh, that the Torah says that a man is compared to a tree. It's actually interesting, just tangentially, to briefly note that in its original context, that pasuk actually is saying it rhetorically. It's saying, is a person like a tree? Almost in this way of saying rhetorically that no, he's not. But many of the Svarim take this in a midrashic way and quote the pasuk in a variety of contexts. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh, that a person is like a tree. And this is quoted in many, many, many sources, and there's a lot of deep meaning to it in a variety of different ways. And one of the ways in which I think there's a treasure house and a wealth of meaning from which to draw in the context of thinking about the metaphor of a person as a tree is if you think about the structure of a tree. The tree has the trunk of the tree, the core, thick trunk of a tree. And if you've ever seen a big tree and you see how wide it is and how thick it is and how strong and solid that tree is, where it's connected to the ground and it goes up for a number of feet. And that trunk of the tree, that solid, thick trunk of the tree, is very, very difficult to move, nearly impossible. It does not get affected very much by wind blowing or by elements and weather change, etc. It stays solid and firm in exactly how it is. And then that trunk branches out into branches. And in the beginning, those branches are still fairly thick and fairly strong and solid. And they, too, don't get affected all that much. It would take a very, very strong wind for those branches to be moved. And then from those branches, there are smaller branches that then emerge, extending further outwards. And those branches get a little bit thinner. And then from those, further and further and further, until the branches really get very, very thin and become more like twigs. And at this point, the branches are very affected and can be moved and can fall off and can break and can sway in the wind rather easily. And then from those smallest branches are where either fruit can grow or leaves can grow and something is actually produced. And that exact structure really provides a way of thinking deeply about ourselves. Because the trunk of the tree, which again is solid and it's the core of it and it doesn't move very easily, that in a sense forms our core identity as individuals, as people. The sense of self that we have of who we are, that we know who we are authentically and truly. This is who I am, and I know who I am. And what happens on a day-to-day basis, what happens from one moment to the next moment, what's happening around me, the external stimuli around me, the people around me, the events, the ups and downs of my life, they don't necessarily affect that core sense of self of what makes me, me. My uniquenesses, my strengths and weaknesses, my particularities, all of that stays solid. Because that's my core sense of self. That's the trunk of the tree in my identity. But if I stay there, I can't extend outward. That part of me is not very vulnerable to changes on the outside. And in that way, that core part of me is really important and is really solid and strong. But if it stays self-contained in that kind of a way, then it doesn't have the possibility of extending outward, of reaching out into the world, into connection with other people, into the pursuit of different opportunities and different experiences and different accomplishments. And so we go from that trunk, we reach outwards, and we start to form branches that are thinner. And those branches at the beginning are still very thick. Those are the core kind of closer to home, almost in a sense more conservative, less exposed, less risky, less vulnerable engagements that we have as we begin to reach outwards. We begin to extend ourselves outwards. And now we can be affected by the elements. We can be affected by what's around us, but still in a more minimal way. But then we continue to reach out because there's more to connect with in the world around us. And so we become more open and more vulnerable. And now the branches get thinner. And now we're extending ourselves outwards. We're actually putting ourselves out there. We're trying to self-actualize. We're trying to offer something into the world. And as we do that, it's paradoxical because on the one hand, that's an amazing opportunity, an amazing experience. And at the very same time, it also becomes more flimsy. It's more risky. It can be more easily affected. Someone else's opinion of me, someone else's position, the way someone thinks, the way someone looks at me now affects me. I'm easily affected by the elements because I've put myself out so much. I've extended so far outwards that now the branches turn into twigs. And it's only at that thinnest part of the tree, the thinnest branches of the tree, that now something can actually be produced, whether it's fruit or it's leaves. And those fruit and those leaves, that produce, which comes from the most vulnerable part of the tree, the most outwardly extended part of the tree, the thinnest, the flimsiest, the weakest part of the tree, that's actually what gives life to something in this world. That's what actually produces the existence of something new in this world. And that's exactly us. When we go into those more vulnerable places, we extend fully outwards. We try to do something creative, something that's who we are, but we put ourselves out there in that way. Then we can actually have the possibility of giving life to something, creating something, adding something to the world, producing a fruit in the world. But it's also very risky because it's very exposed and it's very flimsy. And now what we've created is really also in the hands and at the mercy of other people, all the elements around us and all the factors of the world around us. And those fruit will be plucked or they'll fall and they'll be eaten, they'll be enjoyed, or sometimes they rot and sometimes they spoil. The leaves are celebrated and they're beautiful and then they become, well, sometimes they get ugly or they become old, they become disintegrated, decayed. And so too with that which we offer into the world. It comes and goes, it's vulnerable, but that's where the produce is. And that's how a person experiences themselves in this world. But that's actually just the beginning of the tree metaphor. Because beneath all of that, the part of the tree that we left out, the part of the tree that actually is the life of the tree, the life source of the tree, is that which is not even visible above the ground. It's that which is buried beneath the ground, in the soil, deep, deep down in the soil, in the earth, that which is hidden from view. And that, of course, is the roots of the tree. The roots of the tree, which are actually the tree's source of life, but it's hidden from view entirely. And so what that means in the metaphor to people is that while the trunk of the tree is that core identity, that core sense of self, there's still something deeper. There's still something even more intangible, even more hidden, something even more private, something even more within myself that I myself don't even have a full grasp on. And that might be, if we think about it, that might be our neshama, our soul, our spiritual self that is invisible, that we can't see, that we can't fully grasp, that we can't fully understand, but that we know is there and that we can sense in a kind of mysterious way. We can touch it but not touch it. We know it's there, but we can't fully comprehend it. We can acknowledge it and we can have some level of discerning that there's something about me that's more than just my physical body, more than just the finite container of my body. There's something that's more than that, but I can't understand fully what it is. It's not visible. And that's the roots of the tree that go beneath the ground. And a person in a healthy development has both of these elements. The part of us that is out in the world, the part of us that is trying to accomplish something, the part of us that is extended outward, that is vulnerable in pursuing, contributing to the world, in avodas Hashem, spiritually, physically, materially, morally, trying to create and make an impact on this world, to glorify Hashem's name, to reveal Hashem in this world, to add more Kedusha to the world. And that's the extension of the trunk of the tree going into the branches outward and further outward and further outward to finally actually produce something. And beneath all that, though, is the invisible part of us that is actually already perfect. The already perfect part of us. Not the part of us that needs to strive for perfection, but the part of us that is already perfect. And this is what the Svarim all talk about as the distinction, the two parts, speaking in general, broad strokes, the two parts of a person that we all need to have a sense of both of these parts. The part of us that is what's called the Ahava Hatluya Bedavar, Hashem's love for us, our value, that is dependent on something. It's dependent on the produce. How many fruit can we produce? How beautiful are the leaves that we create in this world? And then there's the part of us that's the Ahava She'ena Tluya Bedavar, the roots that are deep beneath the ground, the unconditional love and worth and value that each person has, no more and no less than any other person, regardless of what fruit they produce and what actually materializes or actualizes or comes to fruition in this world. And that's the Sharashim, the invisible part of us. And in the Svarim, these two parts are talked about in a myriad of ways. And this distinction is carried through so many different aspects because it's something that's so core to what it means to live as a Jew, to live in relationship with Hashem, is to know that we have both of these parts of ourself, both of these aspects of our relationship with Hashem and our relationship with ourself and with others. Sometimes it's referred to, as I just said, the unconditional and the conditional, the Ahava She'ena Tluya Bedavar, the Ahava She'tluya Bedavar. Sometimes it's referred to in the Svarim as the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. Yaakov is Yud Ekev, Yud representing spirituality, and Ekev is the heel, starting all the way on the bottom and then needing to extend and to rise upward to grow. It's a process of growth. It's not that the growth or that the actualization or that the accomplishment is there in the beginning. It's something that emerges over the course of a process. That's Yaakov. Yisrael, on the other hand, is Yashar Kel, is straight to God, directly to Hashem. The finish line is already there in the beginning. Sofo notes betchilaso, that the end is already in the beginning. It's already there. Before I even start, I'm already there. That's the roots. It's the invisible part, the already perfect part. In Svarim, this is sometimes talked about as the difference between Rachel and Leah. Yaakov falls in love with Rachel because he finds her beautiful, whether that's physically or spiritually, in whatever ways. There's something about her that attracts him to her. There's something on the outside. It's also on the inside, but it's reflected on the outside. There's something that Yaakov grasps, something that Yaakov connects to, that he wants to now marry her. That's the element of our neshama that's referred to as Rachel. And then there's the element of Leah, which is that Yaakov doesn't even choose to marry her. He's just automatically married to her. He wakes up one morning and he's married to her. It's not dependent on anything. It's inherent. And that's the part of the neshama that's referred to as Leah. In the Avoda, in the work of Avodas Hashem, in the different aspects, in the Svarim, this is talked about as the difference between Bittul and Histokikus. Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern Shlita, the Tzaddik, the Gon, the Mekubal in Yerushalayim, living contemporarily, talks about the difference a lot, but the difference between Bittul and Histokikus. Bittul is self-nullification. It's the experience of, I'm already there. I don't control any of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, God, runs all of it. I'm just here in a sense as a puppet. I'm here not in my own independent identity or existence. I don't produce something. I simply am, if I can even say that much. To say that much is already saying too much. That's the part of the neshama that's already in the end. It's already in the full revelation of Hashem. And then there's histokikus, which is striving for more, trying to accomplish more, trying to actualize, trying to produce something, trying to contribute an impact in some way, trying to grow, extending outwards and upwards into the world and producing fruit. That's the histokikus. This is chachma and bina, the two spheros. This is chesed and din, the loving kindness, the acceptance, versus the strictness, the sequence, the order, the rules, the process of growth. This is the difference between, in the Baal Tanya, he talks about mayim versus esh. Eish is burning, it's longing for something. And mayim, water, so fire is burning for something. Fire is that desire to grow, to actualize again. It's the desire for something more, something that's not here. And mayim, water, is that which quenches that thirst. It's that which puts out the fire, it settles the fire. It's the realization that it's all already here, it's already perfect. And so in our lives, And in the psychology series of Attached, we'll talk about this in the context of what's referred to sometimes as self-esteem versus self-confidence. Self-esteem is the sense that I accept who I am radically already, in a sense of relationship with myself, of loving who I am entirely in this intangible and deep way. Self-confidence has to do with what skills or talents or abilities I think I have and feeling confident in those two things. But we need both. We need these two different elements, the root level and the tree level, that which is beneath the ground and that which is above the ground. And of course, in Hasidus and in Yiddishkeit in general, what we're always being drawn to and pulled back into is to remember the root level, to remember the roots, that which is not able to be seen. In Perek Lamed Beis of Tanya, the Lev, the heart of Tanya, the Baal Tanya talks about this very, very deeply in another context. But he talks about this idea of, not idea, it's more than an idea, this central pillar of our lives of being able to see beneath the surface, to see that there's something deeper, something that's there that we barely even sense, but we sense a glimmer of it, an echo of it, and we try to connect with it and we try and draw it forward. And so living in this time right now of Shvat, of Tu B'Shvat, the beginning of the year for trees, and thinking of ourselves through this metaphor, is a way of creating this sense of identity with having both of these elements in our lives, both of these aspects in our lives. The sense of the urgency, in a kind of a way, an urgency of growth, an urgency of working and accomplishing in this world, because we're here for a short time and there's so much to do. And at the very same time, having the complete and total peace and equanimity of knowing that everything is already exactly as it needs to be. Avoda and Menucha, as Ravitcher Meyer talks about, avoda and menucha together somehow being in this state of urgency. It's dachuf, it's now, something needs to happen, the tree needs to grow. And at the same time, it's already exactly as it needs to be. And that's true on a macro level of the whole world and the whole existence, and it's true on the micro level of each individual, for each and every one of us in the person that we are and in each detail of our lives, that we need to make it better and it's already perfect. And so in Shvat, as there's a hischadshus, there's a renewal of the world of trees, hopefully we can try and renew this way of living as a tree, of learning from the tree, of seeing that metaphor of the tree for ourselves in all these areas and aspects of our lives and all the dimensions of who we are and how we exist and experience our lives in this world. So much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please follow us on WhatsApp, YouTube, or Instagram. All our podcast series can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out with questions, comments, or suggestions, or to be added to our WhatsApp groups. You can reach us through email using yakov.attached@gmail.com or on WhatsApp at 773-888-2413.